reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to the crowd, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and these things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, all three readings in Scripture speak about the emptiness and the futility of basing our lives only on the things of this world. The first reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, and the author identifies himself by the name of Qoholith. And tradition says that Qoholith was King Solomon. And when Solomon became king of Israel, he asked God for the gift of wisdom so that he would know how to guide the people of Israel. And God was so pleased with this request that he gave Solomon, it says, more wisdom than anyone had ever had. And Solomon did become famous for his wisdom. Scripture says that important people and queens came from all over the world to consult him. And when Solomon wrote this book that we're reading today from the book of Ecclesiastes, he was at this point already an old man. And he had lived his life. He had acquired great wealth and fame. He enjoyed all of life's pleasures. He made the most of every opportunity and accomplished all he wanted in life. And as an old man, he was reflecting all this, and his conclusion was, and I quote, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Now, the Hebrew word here for vanity is herbel, and it refers to something that is very fleeting, something that passes quickly and leaves nothing behind, something that comes and goes. The sense is that it's something like vapor or like mist that rises off a pond in the early morning for a few feet, and then it dissipates and is gone. Something like soap bubbles. You know, the bubbles pop up quickly. They float slowly and majestically through the air. They're beautiful to look at with their rainbow colors sparkling in the light. And then pop, they're gone, never to be seen again. And Solomon is saying that in his long life experience and wisdom that God has given him, this is what many people do in their lives. They exert great energy, devote a great deal of time, put in lots of blood, sweat, and tears into attaining knowledge or ability or accomplishments, wealth, or pleasures. But at the end of their lives, they will realize that it was all a chase after bubbles. He says it this way. He says, he is one who has labored with great knowledge, great wisdom, great skill, and yet to another who has not labored over it, he must leave it all. And as priests, we hear this all the time. Any priest who has been ordained for any length of time, he will tell you, yes, Qoholith lives in our society today. We've heard Qoholith ourselves. Things like, "Father, I've labored all my life on this farm, or at this business, or at this job. I've accomplished and accumulated much, but now I have to leave it to my ungrateful children who don't care." And And that's basically the gist of the first reading. And against this backdrop of Koheleth, we also have the teaching of the gospel in Jesus today. Jesus is addressed by a man from the crowd who says, "Teacher, tell my brother to give me my share of the inheritance." Again, this is something that as priests we've heard many times during the course of our priesthood. And it's a very common concern in lawyers' offices all around the country right now. Families fight and are divided and destroyed over inheritances all the time. They apparently did that at the time of Jesus, and they do so as well today. So Jesus uses this opportunity to teach a very important lesson. He says to the man, he says, take care to guard against all forms of greed. And in our culture and society today, with its emphasis on wanting more and more, achieving greater and greater standards of living, it might be good to put that saying on our bathroom mirror, or a screensaver on our computer, or as a saying on our fridge. Take care, guard against all forms of greed. Now, Jesus is, notice he's saying that, he's not saying that money, wealth, accomplishments, ability, property, achievements, he's not saying they're bad in themselves. He's simply saying, don't make these things the focus of your life. Don't put the desire for these things at the center of your heart. Don't define yourself and your worth by worldly accomplishments. Although these things are good in themselves, by themselves, they will never succeed in making you happy or satisfied or fulfilled. You will just want more and more. They will leave you and your life disappointed and empty in the end. And notice, though, in the gospel, Jesus is speaking about pursuing and achieving wealth or material goods or fame or money or pleasures or accomplishments in a legitimate and honest way. So he's saying that even if you achieve all these goods in an honest, legitimate way, by themselves they will not make you happy or make you acceptable to God. So just imagine how less acceptable to God we would be if we were to achieve wealth and material things in a dishonest way. Now, as you know, Jesus has often taken saints and mystics and shown them snippets of the afterlife. There's countless of these stories. He's given them visions of hell, heaven, and purgatory. And they come back in order to tell others that what the Bible says about these things is really true. They've experienced it. Recently, I ran across a certain mystic that Jesus took to hell. And he said he wanted her to watch and learn so that she could come back and warn others. And he said it's not his Father's will or his will or desire that any human being should end up there. His passionate desire is that people repent and come to him so that they can be forgiven and he can bring them to heaven. And it breaks his heart, tears his heart apart when people don't do that. Only the people who end up in hell are those who have not listened, who have ignored his teachings and lived and died in serious sin without wanting to repent. And the mystic said that hell that he showed her was horrible and frightening beyond words. She said it was a place of utmost darkness and aloneness. Intensity of heat could not be measured, filled with disgusting stench, filled with noise of wailing from regret, pain, and hopelessness. She said she was convinced that there's no place in the universe as bad as that, a place that was completely absent of God, goodness, love, joy, or beauty. And the Lord showed her a small portion of hell. And this particular part, she said, was divided into three parts with three different groups of people. And there were so many people, she said, in each group, that it was impossible for her to even estimate because the numbers were too large. And she was shocked to see some of her close relatives, some of her friends, and some of the members of the church there. She said the first group that Jesus showed her consisted of people who had debts to pay. They had borrowed money. They knew that they had to pay it back. They had the ability to pay it back, but they decided not to. Oh, I'll pay it later. I'll give it back tomorrow, next week, next month, but they never did. And time ran out for them, and now they're in hell. It's a result of the choices they lived with and died with. The second category, she said, were people who owed debts, had the ability to pay, but were not willing to because they were afraid of possible consequences. If I tell the truth, it may become known what I've done, and as a result, I may suffer rejection. I may be humiliated. I may lose some friends. I may even go to jail. And Jesus said to her, none of these people came to ask me for a way out. If they would have done so, I would have shown them an easy way out. Their time ran out, and now they are reaping the fruit of their labors. And the third category were people who had debts to pay, but could not afford to pay them back. And he said that none of them also came to me asking for my help. I would have accomplished it for them if they would have asked. Time also ran out on them, and they now are eating the fruit of their labors. And then there was a fourth situation. The Lord showed the mystic a middle-aged woman. The mystic knew before her death. She said this person had died in a sudden car accident in the year 2005. The mystic was shocked to see her in hell because everyone knew she was a God-fearing person. She was an active member in her Christian church. Jesus said that she loved him while on earth and had served him. She knew the word of God very well. She prayed, was an active member of the church. She helped and was kind to the poor and needy, and she had led many people to God and was a good servant in most ways. So the mystic was shocked and asked, well, why would such a good woman end up in hell? And Jesus said, well, this woman had a friend who worked in a hospital dispensary. Whenever the woman was sick, she asked her friend to organize the medicine she needed so she could pick it up from the hospital dispensary. Her friend always obliged and told her when to come to meet her so she could give her the medicine. Then she would take it without having to pay. In this way, not only did she steal, but she caused someone else to be part of her sin. I went to her many, many times and told her to stop what she was doing. But she would reason that what she was doing was just a small thing, and convinced herself that the warning she felt was not from me, but only her own thoughts. So she ended up in hell for breaking the commandment, thou shalt not steal, and not wanting to repent from it. And so Jesus today gives us in the gospel some very good warning. He says, take care to guard yourself against all forms of greed. Now there's nothing inherently wrong with wealth, money, possessions, accomplishments, abilities. When they come to us, whether they're through hard work or an inheritance or a gift, we should be grateful to God because every good gift and every ability is a gift from Him. And then to use them with integrity and honesty because they're being given to us so we can use them to develop our own character, mature in our personality, and to be a support to other people who God places in our lives. The Bible also recommends tithing, giving 10% to those who support those in need. Because if we get into the habit of doing this regularly, it will actually protect our hearts from becoming enslaved to greed and not to make these things the center of our lives. Now, because basically these material blessings of the world, as I said, and all these accomplishments will not satisfy us. And if we live for them alone, we will not reach the kingdom of heaven. And so if we fail to reach the kingdom of heaven because we place the goods of this world first and center in our hearts, then how much more will we miss heaven if we accumulate these things in a world in a dishonest manner? So today may be a good day to ask ourselves, have I been honest in my payment of taxes? Have I ever taken anything from work that did not belong to me? Have I worked or paid for work under the table so I could avoid paying taxes? Have I been dishonest in my declaration of things I purchased in other countries and brought over the border to avoid paying duty? Have I been honest in my expense accounts, in my business deals, in the tips I've received in my years of work? Have I vandalized anything and failed to pay for it? Have I paid all my debts? If I've broken these commandments in any way, have I confessed and made up for them? And so St. Paul gives us really good advice in the second reading. He says, seek what is above. Think and strive for what is above. And Jesus says, seek to be rich towards God and not rich towards things of the world. How are we rich towards God? It's by seeking to live lives of holy love, of justice, of truth, of goodness and mercy. So let us always remember that we can only keep for heaven the virtues we've developed in our hearts and lives and what we've given away to others out of love for God. That will be the only things we can take with us to the kingdom of heaven.